Welcome, and thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Forever and ever and ever and ever. So, amen. It's wonderful to be here in this place today to get to share God's word with you. And I guess you guys hear me ringing. So, you're working. I tell you what, our sound team is amazing. Let me explain why. For those who, running sound in a gym is the hardest thing you could ever do, especially when there's more open mics like this. So, for those who it's like being in a house of mirrors and having a flashlight and saying, but only this one spot can get light. Because we got all this reflective sound and just things are bouncing everywhere. So it's absolutely, we are blessed here at this church to have such a wonderful media team. So thank you guys for all that you're doing back there. A standing wave right there, that's what that's called. And if I need to grab a handheld, guys, if I don't want you guys to fight this the whole service. But years ago, I got invited to be able to go to a seminary with some friends of mine that were attending that seminary. And the person that was teaching systematic theology during the class got to bring up what he felt like, his opinion, this isn't thus saith the Lord, but I agree with it, so just so you know where I'm at. He says probably one of the most five important words in all of Scripture. And it is how we open the Christmas story up. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. If you're in the New King James, it basically says, or King James, it says this. Now, other translations says a little bit different, but I'm going to use this translation just because it captures the nuance of what Luke is saying there. And that is this, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. What came to pass? You know, we read right past that. I grew up watching Charlie Brown's Christmas and Charlie Brown asking, can anybody explain what Christmas is? And Linus getting up there and saying, well, in those days it came to pass. The tree went out and he starts the Christmas story. And so I have been conditioned my whole life just, well, that's just the phraseology. That's just, you know, the way it's communicated. That's it's just getting you into the story. But no, it really has a very significant meaning there. Now, I trust that most of us in here are believers, but I don't take it for granted. And so, for those who believe in Christ as their Savior, that believes He is the promised one, that He is the Messiah, He is that which was prophesied of old, then I ask and beg for you to give me about 5-10 minutes, because I want to lay some foundational work here. Because I do know that there's tons of people listen to us online, listen to our podcast, and you might be in here today thinking that the Christmas story has no more historical or truth validity to it than, say, the story of Santa Claus, that it's just a great story. But I want to lay a foundation for you today that will maybe challenge your thoughts, because there's some questions we're going to have to ask ourselves today if we do hold that this is just a good story, a good allegory, you know, some great talking points to live by, then we have to answer these questions. When Luke begins the Christmas story with the words, and it came to pass, he's doing more than marking time. He's saying everything God promised, every prophecy spoken, every hope whispered through centuries has now arrived. That's what he's declaring. So we got to understand, can we believe those prophecies? Can you put hope and trust in it? Why should you believe the scripture? Why should you believe that this has any validity? I want to give you just some quick things here that I pulled up that is just amazing to me. Back in, I don't know what the year is, but there was a mathematician by the name of Dr. Peter Stoner who chaired departments of mathematics and astronomy, once calculated that the odds of any one person fulfilling just 8 prophecies, just 8 messianic prophecies, the chance of that is 1 in 100 quadrillion. Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecies. This mathematician is saying just to fulfill eight, the chances of that is 1 in 10 quadrillion. What that means from a visual standpoint, it would be like taking the state of Texas, filling it up a foot in silver coins, marking one on the back and saying, "All right, William, I'm going to drop you out in the middle of Texas, find that one." It would be impossible, wouldn't it? The Dead Sea Scrolls prove this. In 1947, scholars found the Dead Sea Scrolls. What does that prove? What does that matter, Terry? How does that apply today? Let me tell you, there's a lot of criticism up to that point that Christians just simply after the fact started writing the Old Testament prophecy so it would line up with what Jesus did. In other words, they post-dated the check. But what the Dead Sea Scrolls prove is this, that complete copies of Isaiah, portions of Micah, Daniel, Zechariah, and Psalms, all dated 150 to 200 years before Christ even showed up. That's what those scrolls prove. And some of the prophecies they found in those Dead Sea Scrolls that we could put our hopes in, the virgin birth, the suffering servant, the Bethlehem birthplace, the pierced Messiah, the rejected Messiah, the resurrected Messiah. These weren't written by Christians after the fact. They were treasured by Jewish theologians long before he was even born and thought of and interpreted as messianic prophecies. Don't let anyone tell you, well, that's just Christians putting a spin on the Torah and the Old Testament now to make it fit. No. History tells us that these folks interpreted it that way. Jewish scholars interpreted these passages as messianic. You can read behind Jewish scholars like Jewish Targums, Rabbinic writings, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament that predates 200 BC, all identified these passages as messianic. Daniel's prophecy, check this out. Daniel's prophecy gives the exact century the Messiah would come. Did you know that? You can go to Daniel 9. It gives prophetic countdown from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. The Messiah, the prince, shall be cut off. The timeline lands squarely in the lifetime of Jesus. That's in Daniel. Secular historians confirm Jesus lived, was crucified, and rose from the dead. And we know those historians like Tacitus, Josephus, and Pliny. So here's my point, guys, and thank you for giving me just a little bit of time to lay this foundation this morning. When Luke says it came to pass, what you're hearing is the weight of history, the precision of prophecy, the credibility of archaeology, the testimony of eyewitnesses, and the impossibility of just coincidence. Folks, Jesus is Lord. He is that which was prophesied. He is the one that we can put. So when the scripture says, and it came to pass, he's talking about in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. That's what came to pass. And we know that because it's fulfilled in Galatians 4:4 and Hebrews 2:14. Terry, what does that mean? How does that apply to me today? I'm glad you asked. Because it came to pass, the devil does not have the last word on your past. Because it came to pass, you don't have to fight for victory, you fight from victory. Because it came to pass, every bondage has a promise expiration date. Because it came to pass. See, these have real world implications on you and I here in 2025. This isn't just fairy tales. This isn't just a great story. This isn't just something we read the kids around the Christmas tree before we open the gifts. No, my friend, this has a real world implication on my life today. Because it came, as my mom used to say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, he holds the future. So life is worth the living. That's what came to pass. We're not just reading scripture. It's not just poetry. It's not just a good saying. I don't know what you're going through, but I know I've been through a lot in the last recent few months. And I'm sure some of you have been touched by life just as well. But because it came to pass, I don't fight for victory, I fight from victory. Because it came to pass, I know that everything that is touching me has to go through the sovereign hands of God, and it's not there to punish me, but to promote me. Because it came to pass, I don't care if you're in this room, a living room, a bedroom, or the nursing room. God's got you. And he's not letting anything touch you. He's not letting anything come about you that he's not going to turn around. Because the Bible promises he will take that which the enemy meant for evil. And I don't know how he does it, but he does. The very tool that the enemy tries to use to destroy you and I, the very tool that the enemy tries to use to discourage you and I will be the very tool God will use to say, look what the Lord has done. In Isaiah 7:14, it says this, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. We know in Matthew 1:22, 23, that came to pass. But what does that mean? Because it came to pass, God does not need natural conditions to fill supernatural promises. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm tempted by judging what I can do and what I can't do when I've got my eyes on me and not on he. Did it ever occur to you that David showed up to a gunfight with a knife and didn't even bring the knife? Think about this. He shows up, and listen, if my thing is slingshots, okay, that's my weapon of choice, you would think you would bring some rocks as well. I'm just saying, it's like showing up with a gun with no bullets. What are you going to do, throw the gun at him? We can study from that story. The things in my hand might not be but this. But God can use whatever is in your hand, in my hand, and perform the supernatural. He's done it time after time after time. And my Bible says in Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow. He does not change. His methods might change from time to time. His way about going things will change. The tunes might change. The song might change. The mood might change. He does not change. If he can do it for them, he can do it for me. He can do it for you. So it means God does not need natural conditions. It means your limitations don't limit him. It means when God spoke these words, he supplies the miracle needed to fulfill it. Your impossible situation is the perfect stage for God's Christmas miracle. Your situation that you feel is impossible this morning is the perfect stage for God to show you a Christmas miracle this year. Your limitations this morning, what you have need of is the perfect environment God needs and wants to give you a gift this Christmas under the tree that you did not even conceive of. Your eye has not ever seen. Your heart has never even desired. Nor has it entered into your thinking, your imagination of how God can do the impossible this Christmas. He's the same. How he does it, what it looks like, I don't know. But he can. And he does. And he will. Because it came to pass, he can do the impossible. There's a prophecy in Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. It says this, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. That prophecy was fulfilled in Luke 2:11 and also John 1:14, for those taking notes, keeping score at home. What does that mean? Because it came to pass, God is not far. He's with you today. He is Emmanuel, God with us. My grandfather was a Navy shipbuilder. He worked up in, what's that shipyard up in Virginia? No, it's not Newport. What is it? He'll come to me. What'd you say? Somebody said it. Yeah. I can't remember. I shouldn't have brought it up. It's really irrelevant to the story. It's just one of those, it's just nagging me now. The point is this. My grandfather was a man's man. You know what I'm saying? He was one of those, and my kids criticized me all the time. I said, Dad, you act like a boomer. And I said, that's because I was raised by a man who came from the World War II generation, the greatest generation of all time. And so I have some of the same attitudes of, because I'm technically a Gen Xer, but I have the heart and attitude of mine. I'm a boomer. And I wear it proudly, kids. It's not an insult. It's actually a compliment. But my granddad thought for years that religion was for the weak-minded, for those who needed an emotional crutch, for those who were too weak to face life head-on, for those who needed some sort of, you know, emotional lotion. He's a hard man. Worked in shipyards. He's a man's man. Taught me that if you're not there 15 minutes early, you're late. But he's just that kind of guy. To this day, when I'm tempted to do something, I hear my grandfather's voice in the back, boy. He's a good man, though. But he never was open to the things of God for years. My mother cut hair after high school for 2 or 3 years to save up enough money so she could buy an airplane ticket in her first year of tuition to go to Life Bible College in Los Angeles. She was a person, his wife, my grandmother, gave me my love for Scripture. She was a godly woman. Everybody in that man's life was serving God but him. And then one day he got sick. One day he gets in the hospital and he's in Charlotte Memorial. And a pastor from this church that I won't embarrass, but we call him the Great Robini, came and prayed. He was my youth pastor at the time. Came and prayed for my grandfather. For the first time in my life. And from what I hear my uncle say, they saw that man cry. They saw tears start streaming down his face. And they saw him pray the sinner's prayer. And I asked him, I said, Grandpa, what happened? He said, I don't know what that man did. I don't know who he is. But all I can tell you, I felt the presence of something beyond human in this room. Theological arguments didn't win him. A persuasive talk didn't win him. Doing everything he asked for years didn't win him. What won him was Emmanuel, God with us. He came encounter with the real Jesus. And when he came encounter with the real Jesus, that tough, hard man that was a man's man became clay, the pot in the hands of the potter's hand. And he went on to testify, and he was still a man that you better be there 15 minutes. He's still a man of, you know, walk the line, but he had a grace with him now. He says, because that's the way God would want you. Today is this. When you've tried everything you know, when you've done all that you can do, I can tell you what you really need is the presence of God. You get in his presence. Out right here, which is Emmanuel, God with me. I don't have all the answers. I don't even know what questions to ask. But he knows. He knows. He can get in my situation and mess me up when I don't even know how to pray. The Bible says he gives me utterances when I don't even know how to talk myself. He talks for me. He is Emmanuel. God with me. Lord, I don't even know what I need. I just know I have need. He says, I'll tell you what you need. Get in my presence. Lord, I've got problems and I don't know the answer. I know what the answer is. I'm right here. Just get in my presence and I will show you and give you and live through you and live out of you the answer that you need.
For years and years and years, I used to try to get into math problems. I try to get ahead of the plus sign. I try to get behind the plus sign. I try to work the math problem because I see in Scripture after the equal sign, it all equals this. God promised me this. This is how it equals. And God's teaching me, but you don't understand. You're dealing with simple arithmetic here. I'm dealing with the Holy Ghost equations that's got variables in it that you don't even get. Your job is just to believe everything equal right at the equal sign. My job is what you call the problem. Quit trying to get in the problem and solve it. Get out of my way. It's good. God, so when Luke is telling you and I this Christmas, and it came to pass, what he's saying is God's with us. He's in this room with you right now. You're not abandoned. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. I don't care what you've done. I don't know. I don't care what the enemy has said about me or you. I don't care. You know, so many times it's so easy for us to be tempted that we have to earn God's benevolence, that we have to earn the right to even be in His presence. When the Hebrew writer says, "Nothing separates," Paul says that in Romans. Paul says it, well, the Hebrew writer says it, that he is persuaded that nothing separates. So Christmas is a promise that God came for us. In Micah, it says, out of Bethlehem shall come forth the one who will be the ruler. That's fulfilled Matthew 2, verses 1 through 6, and Luke 2, verses 4 through 7. What does that mean to you, that prophecy? Because that came to pass, even the smallest overlooked places can produce greatness. Bethlehem was nothing. Bethlehem was nothing. God works through what seems insignificant. Your beginnings do not determine your destiny. Bethlehem is proof God raises kings out of small places. So for most of my life, I was able to agree with the enemy. I'm just being honest with you. I gave in. You know, the Bible says he goes around seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he can have to do with him. May have to give him permission. I gave him. Why? Because he would say, you're just so-and-so from such-and-such. Why do you expect the fact that you can get up in the morning and put pants on, Terry, should be a win in your, why expect any more? I don't know if you guys have ever had to deal with that, but I have. And to feel like, well, who am I? Why should I do anything? Why should I expect anything? I mean, that's for those people. That's for the educated. That's for the talented. That's for the skilled. That's for those who really, I mean, God really loves them, and I'm just so-and-so from such-and-such. That promise, and it came to pass. What that means is this. Bethlehem is nothing. Nothing. Wish Charlie was in the room today. I know he's listening. Charlie? Bethlehem was modern-day Ruth. It's just Ruth. It's just a blip on the map. It's a misspelling of Rutherfordton. Yet look what God can do in the little town of Ruth. Now, look what God, I don't know what the enemy is telling you. I don't know what the exact lie is to you this morning. But if you've ever faced this situation where I can't because of this or I can't because of that, God's here today and it came to pass that I'm proving you right now, you might have come out of nowhere in just a little manger and in the worst type situation. But God can do greatness if you let Him. God can do greatness if we let Him and we trust Him and we believe in Him. In Isaiah 42:6, it says this, I will give you as a light to the nations. That is a messianic prophecy. It's fulfilled in Luke 2:32, and it's also fulfilled in Acts 13:47. What does that mean to you and I? Because it came to pass, no one is too far, too broken, too outside for the grace of God. You're not too far. Jesus came for the outsider, the forgotten, the person that never fit in or got in. The gospel is global. It's personal. It's inclusive. Your darkness is not a stranger. Your darkness is not stronger than the light. A child from the line of David, 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16. And Jeremiah 23:5 says this, I will raise up an offspring, and his kingdom will endure forever. Fulfillment of that is Luke 1 and Romans 1. What that means to you and I, because it came to pass, Jesus is not just Savior, he's King. Because it came to pass, his rule is eternal, unshakable, and undefeatable. Because it came to pass, your life is under the banner of an unchanging King. The implication is this, and I'm going to tread lightly. It really doesn't matter what our politics are. It doesn't matter what's going on in the nation. I serve a King that's not up for re-election. I'll be clear. I believe you and I, with the presence of God and the Word of God in us, should be speaking in to our society. You should be a voice into society, standing up for godliness, for justice, for what God's way of doing things are. I'm not backing down from that at all. But what I'm saying is this, whether the guy agrees with me or not, it really don't matter, because God's sovereignty is like a freight train. If you're on the railroad track, I hope you're going in the right direction. Because God will have his way. And what that means, you and I, is we're passionate. We're fervent for the things of God. We're not worried. We're not anxious. We're not, No. Whether it happens today, tomorrow, or the next day, what God said will happen. I'm more of a spectator sitting back just going, watch this. Y'all, watch this. Look what God is about to do. Now, guys, I'm passionate about this. I really am. I can get my feelings. We all can. Right? But we're not ruled and governed by our feelings. We are not ruled. And let me tell you something. There's some principles in God's word that transcends our politics or anything else. No matter who it is, we pray for them. No matter who it is, we wish and we pray blessed. You know, that famous verse in Jeremiah 29:11, which we all like to quote, have we ever, backed up and saw the context of that? I know many of you have. But what was Jeremiah coming up against? He was coming up against people that was caught by a political system. He was coming against people that says, well, because Nebuchadnezzar is this and he's that and all this, do this and we'll get out of this. And Jeremiah said, no. Live your life. Have kids. Pray for the welfare of the place you live. Don't bless, just bless. And then we come to the famous verse we all like, quote. Because God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good. And not evil. So, in modern day terms, in Wilsonology, chillax. God's got this. He's got, and that don't mean I'm not fervent. Don't mean we don't pray. Don't mean we don't speak into it. I'm not anxious. And that's not me whistling que sera, sera. That's me whistling, God is God. And let everyone else be a liar. Because he's good. Amen, amen. In Isaiah 40, verse 3, Malachi 3:1, we say this, see this, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Of course, we see that John fulfills that in Matthew 3 and also in Luke 1. The meaning of this is because it came to pass, God prepares a path before he delivers the promise. God prepares the path before he delivers the promise. Nothing in your life is wasted. He is always preparing the way. If God takes time to prepare the way, it's because the promise is worth the wait. I'm going to say that again for my benefit. So if you guys would just for a second, let me preach to myself, okay? Y'all can sit in and listen, but I'm going to preach myself happy for just a second. Terry,
God prepares the way. Because it came to pass, he prepares a path before he delivers the promise. I don't know if you're like me, but let me tell on myself, because I'm the only one that has the authority to tell on myself. Can't tell on you. Wouldn't be right. For years, I was mad at God. Donna was. I'll tell you why. My relationship with God was good, but I had this thing in me that I always treated God like the Godfather. You know, I paid my protection money. So, what gives? You know, I went and paid alms. So there was a time in my life I was serving at another church and associate pastor there, and then came to this church. I came back to this church. This is home. I was leading worship. And this is a time period when Jay and I and Charlie was leading worship. I was teaching Sunday school every Sunday. I was teaching adult Sunday school. This is back in the 2000s. And enjoying it. Getting to be able to be used by God. And I was just, I felt like, okay, me and God's got an agreement. I do what he's called me to do. I pay my protection money. He makes sure when your accidents don't happen at Terry's shop. You know what I'm saying? It goes back. Got to pay your protection money. You know what I'm saying? And then one day, life firebombed my store. All of a sudden, life came apart. All of a sudden, what I thought he owed me, I want you to hear my heart. What I thought God owed me, he wasn't making right by. Maybe y'all, I know everyone, y'all are better than me, but just don't judge me. Who said that? Thank you, sister. Got one honest person in the entire group. Lord sees that. But I was like, Lord, what gives? I'm your boy. I've done everything you asked me to do. And then this is falling apart. I'm losing my home. I'm going bankrupt. My life is in shatters. I'm losing friendships. I'm losing relationships. I'm losing everything. And for the life of, not that I'm perfect, but I try to honor you. Years. That was in the back of my head. As it was. I'm going to continue to serve you because I believe you. But I got my eye on you. I do. I was judging God. I had ought against. I know that's going to twist some of y'all's halos to the point y'all got headaches right now, but I'm just telling you. Fast forward through God's grace and mercy. He gives us a lot of life. He gives us things that we can rebuild our life. And we started hosting these yearly conferences down in Greenville. People flew. Other than that, I wouldn't have walked across the street to hear me, but some of these people flew from California, one from Japan, and I mean just all over the world to hear Joyce Wilson, the boy from Bruce, North Carolina, which is crazy to me. Couldn't talk them out of it. They still can't. And we're talking on, you know, things. It's about the second year we had this conference, and we're at Building 1 down there in Greenville, Main Street. Dean and I have finished fellowshipping with everybody, and we're headed to the elevator. And this guy comes up to us, tears in his eyes, crying. Here before you, I got to tell you something. What? Ask Dean after this. He goes, I gave up on Mama. I even contemplated his little son. And I thought, God has forsaken me. He's forgotten me. I don't know what to do. And then you just being so raw with your story, so raw with what God has done for you. Because I want you to know, for the first time, we've been able to relaunch. We're seeing success because of something God's done. And I just want to, you know, he goes, I don't want to be one of the 10. He goes, you know, the Bible says that God healed 10 and 9 of them went away and no one came. He goes, I at least want to be that one that came back and says, thank you. I want to say thank you.
And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, family. I felt convicted. I felt ashamed. I felt unworthy for that conversation. I'll tell you why. Because it was right then God showed me there's purpose in everything. Everything that touches you and I's life, God has a grand purpose for it. And for the 10 years up until that point, I had been judging God. And for the first time, God, through His grace, He didn't owe it to me, gave me some context. And saying, God, see, Terry, I can't use you the way I want to use you if I don't allow you to see some things that you have to see. I can't use you to touch things and heal them if you aren't first broken yourself. How can you relate to someone suffering when you never suffered yourself? How can you give an answer to something you've never had a problem with? So because it came to pass, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a wasted moment in your life. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the enemy is using to beat you up with. God has a purpose for you. It's not to hurt you, it's to help you. It's not to punish you, it's to promote you. It's not to do anything but get the most out of you for the kingdom of God. So I would say to you this morning, don't wait 10 years like I had to. Don't put yourself in a situation where God's like, man, I'm just going to have to break this point. I could have learned that a lot quicker. It didn't take a decade. It took me. Study your maps in your Bible. Study the distance between Egypt and Canaan, the promised land. It's not a 40-year journey. God, pray for me, brother. Pray for me, pastor. I want to get there quick. I'm tired of the wilderness. And to the extent God wants us there, we need to go through it. But the extent we're there because it's us, Lord, give me the GPS. You know, I don't want to be one of those guys that won't stop and ask for directions. You know, listen to your wife, boys. Listen to your wife. I'm just telling you, I wished I'd listened to my wife. We were going to Boone one time, and somehow we ended up in Kentucky. I don't know how that happened, but stop and ask for directions. Hosea says, out of Egypt, I have called my son. That was fulfilled in 2:14-15. Because he came to pass, God brings his people out of bondage. Because it came to pass, your Egypt is not permanent. My Egypt wasn't permanent and is not permanent. Because it came to pass, what tried to hold you cannot keep. Christmas is the start of your exodus. When you hear Luke say, because it came to pass, what you need to be hearing is, my exodus has come to pass. My exit strategy has come to pass. And finally, in closing, Jeremiah 31 says this, a voice heard in Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children. That was the great mourning, Herod's massacre. That's what was prophesied there. And that was fulfilled in Matthew 2:16, where it talks about, you know, Herod massacring all his children. But because it came to pass, that had to come to pass. God sees your pain in the promise. He acknowledges the wounds life brings, even on our holy journeys. Christmas is not sentimental. He doesn't just redeem your sin. He redeems your soul. So this Christmas, when y'all sit down, I don't know if you had the same tradition we have, but in our house on Christmas Eve, we have the kids come around and we read the Christmas story. My wife goes off on a tangent and reads others. We have fun with the kids, and now we get to have fun with the grandbaby. Tell you what, listen, if you hadn't got in on this grandchild thing, it's the best thing. It's the best thing going on. It make you want to skip having being a parent. Just go straight to being a grandparent. This is so much easier. Folks, I want to leave you this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what life. I just know, statistically speaking, and understanding their times and understanding that you're a child of God, you're not exempt from the sorrows this life has to bring. I just want you to know, whatever it is, God has a Christmas spirit for this year. It's not just a story. It's not just an excuse to have a holiday and get around and do traditional things. Enjoy. Have a great time. But more important, there is, in those five words, five being the number of grace, wrapped in those five words is promises that will unfurl in your life if we allow God to use it. Amen? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you do what you do. Lord, we ask you to forgive us when we fall short of not trusting you, not believing in you, not giving you grace. Lord, we thank you that you're more than just a story. You're more than just a holiday narrative. But Lord, you are life itself. You are the reason that we get to be here today, celebrate your birth that infuses our lives. Do great. Your name is great. Before John comes up, I want to ask one quick question. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus more than just a story? If you're here this morning and he's just a Christmas story, now is your time to unfurl and unwrap the greatest Christmas gift you could ever have. And that is knowing the God of us. Is there anyone real quick?
So when we left there, and he said, it's almost over. And I said, I don't care, we're going to church. Because it was the only place I could think that I could be at this moment. Do what I walked in. He said, there's a purpose for everything. There's a purpose that God's going to use in your life. And I believe that. And I'm expecting a Christmas miracle this year.
Amen. All right. Thank you for that. Praise God. How many enjoyed the word this morning? Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Great word. Amen. You know, as Pastor Terry Wilson, as he was ministering, you know, this came to me. He has made himself available. God has. God with us. Emmanuel has made himself available to all of us. Amen. Make you say, yes. Amen. Okay.
So agree with me, please. Father, we just hold my sister Janie and her husband Michael up for you. Lord, we thank you that this is not a surprise to you, Lord, but that you are a God of restoration. And Lord, as you just spoken today, there is a reason and a purpose that you're going to bring forth greater. And out of the ashes, Father God, you will rise the better for my sister and for her household. Thank you for keeping them safe. Thank you for your restoration, Father, in Jesus' name.
Okay. Mike says, say that. Hot. Okay, let me go this way. Okay, we have some announcements for you. Miss Vicki Logan, her surgery was a success. She's doing good. Amen. Praise God for that. And she plans to be with us in a couple of weeks. But the surgery was a success, and she's doing good. She's at home. Also, Pastor Charlie, he's still improving. Continue to pray for him. Amen. He has some sensation going on in the left side, so we thank God for total restoration. We're believing God for a miracle for him. Okay. And today is the day to drop off the Angel Tree gifts. You can drop them off at the back there. Miss Reader is back there. And if you don't have them today, you can drop them off by the office tomorrow between 9 and 11, okay? And after 11, you can come. It'll be, the office will be open from 2 to 4 o'clock, okay? So if you need to drop off, okay. All right. So those are the times. So if you have your gifts today, you can drop them off today, okay? And let's see. Next Sunday will be our Christmas play, the program, and we will not have Sunday school or kids' church. We will all be at the sanctuary at 10:30. So wear your red and come out, and let's bless the Lord and enjoy the program with our, I think, Michael and the praise team, the youth, all of them going to be a part of it, correct? Okay, so come out and be a part of that. No Sunday school or kids' church next Sunday. We will start at 10 a.m. Come on, brother. Okay, all right. I think I covered everything I was supposed to, okay?
I was just going to say, when service is finished, if you are willing, we're going to put up the chairs. If you're willing to stay behind and help us put them up, that would be great. Thank you.
All right. All right. Let's stand. Uh-oh. Okay.
Spend that apartment correction. We have in our Christmas celebration service. AWL Council, they already had 5 deaths from the church this past month. And we need many like to come. With no blue card, a one-time pass. It starts at 6 p.m. Let's meet the parking lot. Spend it apartment correction. We're having a great time in the Lord. Don't need no blue card, okay? On a one-time pass. So if you're not busy, 2-hour slot from 6 to 8 p.m. We'd love for you to come out and let's celebrate Jesus. Next Tuesday night, Eric Moore will probably be bringing a message. Janet Roller from Second Baptist, they'll be there on Thursday night. So praise team, I know y'all pretty busy, but as many would like to come out, we can carry in at least 20 people at one time. So we'd love for you to come, a 2-hour slot. Please come out. Let's celebrate Jesus. Jerry, taking it to the well.
Amen. Thank you. All right, let's stand. You know, please, we thank Pastor Terry Wilson for sharing this morning. Awesome word. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the word that we've received. And God, we continue to uplift Pastor Terry and Miss Brenda, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in his life, Lord, and even Charlie today, Lord, and Miss Vicki, Lord, and all those that have been out sick, Lord. We thank you for turning things around for them, Lord. And God, we thank you for your people, Lord. Watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.